Good morning, everyone. It is Thursday, November 30th, 2017, and another week is winding down as the Green Bay Packers prepare to host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a game that they essentially need to win if they want to have any remote chance of making the playoffs. As Mike McCarthy said, if we don't get to 10 wins, there's nothing to talk about, and that means winning all five of their remaining games. So, to talk about all of that and everything else surrounding the Packers, here with me is Tom Silverstein on this episode of the Packers Podcast, and I think you've already declared their season to be over, but for the moment, the Packers are clinging to the run the table, 5 out of 5, whatever you want to call it. What would you peg the odds at of them winning their next five games?
Well, it's really funny because I did write that, and I still kind of believe that. I still feel pretty strongly about it, but I did go back and I fooled around with one of those playoff generators, you know, just to see what would happen if they won all five of their games. And it's not really far-fetched that they would make the playoffs at 10-6, given the schedules of the other teams. There's a few scenarios where they wouldn't make it at 10-6, the fact they'd have beaten Carolina, they would have beaten Seattle, that pretty much would give them a really good chance of making it. But, you know, what you're talking about is, you know, they can beat Tampa and they can beat Cleveland, but can they beat Carolina, Minnesota, and Detroit in a row? And to me, that's really hard unless Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback.
And two of those are on the road.
Correct.
They'll be at Carolina and they'll be at Detroit. And even if Rodgers does come back, I think going to Carolina and playing the number one or number two overall defense in the league in your first game in 2 months, that's tough.
And people are going to expect him. And we're talking like he's coming back. We don't even know if he's coming back for sure. But if he does come back, people are expecting him to just pick up where he left off, and that's not going to happen. It's just not. He hasn't practiced. I mean, he'll try to practice if he's cleared, but I just can't think you'd expect him to be the same guy. And if I were him, I'd be terrified of landing on that shoulder again, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think if he does come back, it wouldn't surprise me if they went 4-1 in the next five, but it would surprise me if they actually were to put it together and win all five. And look, you know, one of the things that you said on the podcast after the Pittsburgh game I think is the most important, and that is, with Hundley being so erratic at times, there's no guarantee that the success that he had against Pittsburgh carries over into either of these next two games. He could go out there and throw 6 interceptions.
Absolutely.
And so it's one of those things where and actually, you know, it's funny because you asked McCarthy last week, I think it was, did they sort of get too excited by what he did in Chicago and give him too much of an opportunity against Baltimore and it backfired? And he said no immediately. But then today he said almost that exact same thing.
Yeah.
He basically said, the quote was essentially something to the effect of, we saw what he did in Chicago and it opened up more opportunities for him in Baltimore and he threw the interceptions when he had those opportunities.
Yeah. It's funny how that, you know, you present it to him at one point and then you don't, they don't admit you're right until later in the season. So this game against Tampa is presents an interesting dilemma because they're terrible against the pass. They're halfway decent against the run. So what do you do? Do you try to take advantage of how bad they are in the pass and then put the game in Hundley's hands? Or do you do what you did in Pittsburgh, which was put the game, start the game out mostly in Jamal Williams' hands and then let Hundley build off of that and do something off of that? So they have to make a decision on how they're going to do that. I think if they're smart, they continue what they did in Pittsburgh.
Tampa Bay opened as a 1-point favorite, and that quickly went up to 1.5 and all the way up to 2 in some casinos. So it's only been a couple days, and they're already
favorite?
Up to
it. Really?
Tampa Bay, 2-point favorite at Lambeau Field. So that sort of tells you what people think of Hundley and his reliability there in terms of Las Vegas. Now, you know, you talked about Rodgers a little bit, and before we get back to Tampa, let's just sort of finish up on him because you had a chance to listen to Clay Matthews today, and Matthews had some pretty interesting remarks when it came to Rodgers. Sort of tell everybody what he had to say.
Yeah, so, you know, he talked about how he's been in the rehab group. You know, they have this group of players they call it the rehab group, but they essentially during practice, they all do cardio, they do their whatever rehab that they're supposed to be doing. It's a way of getting everybody together at once. And they, like, the team's practicing outside, they'll do it inside in the Don Hudson Center, or they'll do it off to the side.
And at the beginning, everyone says, "Hi, my name is Clay. Hi, my name is Aaron."
Yeah. And so Matthews just raved about where Rodgers was, talked about, you know, how accurate he looks, how strong his arm looks. He pretty much talked as though Rodgers is coming back. He was talking so confidently like that. I asked him, so, you know, we're going to see Rodgers play this year, you know? And he was like, yeah. I mean, he didn't exactly say it's a for sure thing, but he seemed to think that it was going to be in Carolina, that, you know, he's going to start practicing soon and he'll be ready for the Carolina game. Now, he did present the caveat when someone said to him, you know, doesn't he have to be cleared that everything's healed and there's no danger? And he did acknowledge that was the case. But then he got back to, well, we just need to win these next two and then Rodgers will be back. So, you know, I kind of take his word for it. I mean, he and Rodgers do all those commercials together and they've been together at this team for a long time. I think he probably has some inside information.
Here's the thing that I don't understand about the Rodgers situation. And everybody saw him throw in Pittsburgh, and Matthews said he's seen him throw in practice. But Rodgers said, or excuse me, in the rehab group, but Rodgers said that they weren't going to X-ray or scan his shoulder
CAT scan, I think,
because it would slow down the healing process.
Right.
So they didn't want to do that until the end of the 8 weeks. So what I don't really get, and maybe I'm just not smart enough to understand it, is if you didn't know if the bone was all the way healed, why are you letting him throw like crazy?
Oh, because I think that's part of the normal rehab.
So they would throw even if without knowing if the bones are fused?
Yeah, absolutely. Because the bones, I mean, they know the bones are – I'm not a doctor, but I can only do – I've had shoulder surgery. So I can only tell you that it's not a matter of the bones breaking. They got two plates on them.
Right.
You know, I mean, from him throwing is not going to cause the – bones to break. What's going to cause the bones to break is if he gets slammed into the turf again.
Got it.
You know, so I don't think there's, I think.
So you don't think they've scanned it already to just to see how it's doing?
I don't know. No. I think they would probably do that before they start him practicing. Because
okay.
Why practice
yeah,
him if
fair.
You haven't CAT scanned him?
Right.
So my guess is they'll probably do that very soon.
So if they lose one of these next two games to Tampa or Cleveland, is there any scenario in which they bring Rodgers back?
It's still possible. They'd have to see how the rest of the league does. You know, if for some reason all their competitors lost, they might consider it. But what I think they would do is still start the process of practicing him and then see how it goes. But definitely the chances of him coming back if they lose a game is definitely cut.
Well, the one thing that they have going for them is that the division that could cause them the most problems is the NFC South, with New Orleans, Carolina, and Atlanta all mm-hmm. being in the same division. But with the way that the league structures these schedules now, with all the division games being backloaded, those teams are all going to beat up on each other. And
yeah.
unless they tie, there's going to be some losses thrown in there to teams that they need to lose games.
Oh, there's some tough games coming up. New Orleans and Atlanta play twice? See, they may.
And Minnesota plays Atlanta Thursday night.
Yeah, and Carolina plays at New Orleans. I mean, there's just all kinds of – the St. Louis – or Seattle still plays at the – or plays the Rams. There's just a lot of stuff that can happen. But bottom line is this is just like last year. They got to win out. That's really their only – I think their only chance.
So a big key to whether or not they'll be able to win out is, can they stop – some of the receivers that they're going to face
mm-hmm.
in the next few weeks. And you had a column in Wednesday's paper that sort of looked at their inability to find a shutdown guy or a guy that can sort of at least limit these top-tier receivers from other teams. Now, as you noted, they're not going to play Antonio Brown the rest of the way. They're not going to play Julio Jones the rest of the way, but there's mm-hmm. still some good receivers out there. And so Why do you think it's been such a struggle for Thompson and his staff to identify, you know, these guys, given the fact that they've spent so many resources on that position?
Well, to get really good corners, you got to draft high. They're special athletes. You know, you just don't pull them out of the fourth round very often. If you get a guy out of fourth, fifth round, or whatever, boy, that's really a bonus. But the Pro Bowl guys are all first rounders. And, you know, really, the year that they blew it the most was 2013, when they let Minnesota take Xavier Rhodes right in front of them. And then four picks into the second round, Detroit took Darius Slay, and they took Dayton Jones. So that was a huge mistake. But beyond that, there's just – the NFL is littered with bad cornerbacks who were taken in the second, third rounds, you know. So they missed on Quentin Rollins. It looked like they missed on Demaryius Randall for a while there. He's salvaging his career so far. Another implosion could be impending. They haven't done anything in free agency other than bring back Devon House.
And King looks like he could be good if he's healthy.
And King looks like he could be good, but that shoulder thing is, you know, I don't know how they play it. They can keep playing him because he's in and out of the lineup, and there's no consistency there. If you're the Packers, you really want him on the field because he's your future. But I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do the rest of the way. They got to get it back on pass rush. Pass rush is the only way to make your corners better.
What round was Hayward when he was here? Was he second? Okay, so if you think back over the last handful of years, you used a second on Hayward, you used a first on Demaryius Randall, a mm-hmm. second on Rollins, mm-hmm. a second on King. Do you think that when the next draft comes around or the next draft comes around, the next couple, do you think that teams around the league look and they say, gosh, you know, even if our picks weren't big hits, look how many picks we just spent on the corner position over mm-hmm. the last few years. Maybe we don't want to do that again just because, you know, there's other things you can address in the first round.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's a position I want to get right until I get it right, because it's a passing league and you can't win without corners. You can't win without a quarterback. That's number one. They got that. They seem to – the best position Ted Thompson drafts for is wide receiver. So they don't need to take a wide receiver in the first round. They always need pass rushers. That's something I would always take, but that's always a gamble. So, go ahead and take another corner. I mean, do what you got to do, but they've got to make that secondary better.
So at this point in the season, do you think that if King's shoulder continues to be a problem, you sort of alluded to it a little bit in your column, and I think you asked Capers about it, whether or not they considered moving Randall outside. Now
I asked them whether they considered having him shadow the other team's best receiver. I asked them why didn't they shadow Antonio Brown with him,
right?
Because he was the only guy who seemed to be playing okay.
Do you think that that's not something they would consider? I mean, I don't really know what you can do. I mean, there seem to be varying opinions on House and how he's performed this season. I generally think it's been fairly disappointing the last few games.
Yeah, I think he's been up and down.
And so I don't know what you do with him, really.
I think that's why they play it the way they do. Wherever the opponents, you know, decides to line up its wide receivers, that's where they play it. And they keep House on the left and King on the right and Randall in the slot. They're going to have to – they've got Mike Evans coming in. They're going to have to double him. They're just going to have to just take him out of the game. And then I don't know what they do with DeSean Jackson, but hope that Jameis Winston plays like he had been during the year, because those are two pretty good receivers. It was harder for Tampa Bay to get the ball to them. But, you know, I think in this case – Tampa's going to be coming in with two offensive linemen who are out. You better win the line of scrimmage, and you better have heat on a quarterback if that's the case.
What if I told you that the longest catch for DeSean Jackson all year was 41 yards, and he's only had two games, where he's been over 30 with his longest gain?
Yeah, that's...
I don't know. He, to me, he always seemed like the guy that would catch four passes for 110 yards.
Yeah, very explosive guy. Probably not as explosive as he used to be. Definitely not as explosive as he used to be. Mike Evans is an absolute stud.
Yes.
But they've had trouble getting him the ball on a consistent basis, and mostly because, you know, teams aren't afraid of him. Now, you know, with Doug Martin out, I don't know what you know, if they let Mike Evans, you know, do what Antonio Brown did, then everybody should be fired because, you know, you should have three guys around him the whole game.
And you mentioned, you know, the quarterback position. They will have Jameis Winston starting the game on Sunday. Dirk Koetter said Wednesday that Winston will get the start. He's missed the last three games with a shoulder injury that he aggravated in Week 9 and originally injured in Week 6. They had been going with the veteran Fitzpatrick, the former Bill and Jet and Titan, and I think one or two others I'm missing. And Dirk Koetter joked that at this point Fitzpatrick is 47 years old and still going strong. He actually won two of the last three games.
I actually like him. I've always liked him. I think he's a very productive quarterback. He's just not a guy you're just going to take you to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I remember, the 2015 season was the best of his career, and that was when he was with the Jets, and Brandon Marshall had a great year, and Decker had a great year, and Marshall said, now granted, it's the Jets, but he said Fitzpatrick's the best quarterback he's played with in the NFL.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of surprised that they went with Winston. Not that they're going to return to him, but just that, you know, for a guy that hasn't practiced in a couple weeks and will essentially have 2.5 days to get ready.
Yeah. Well, they're 4-7. They're building for the future. This is Winston's team. You know, it's not surprising to me. They don't care if they win or lose this game. They're looking to continue to build for next year.
One area that the Packers can probably hope to exploit is the pass defense for Tampa Bay. You know, a year ago they were first in the league in third down defense. This year they ranked 32nd. So they have literally gone from top to bottom. And Dirk Koetter was asked about their defense, and he basically said that we've had breakdowns at all three levels, whether it's up front, in the middle, or at the back end. And essentially that's a combination that you're not going to overcome if there's that many issues.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, it's Hundley, but do you think that they can throw on this defense?
Yeah, absolutely they can. But once again, I still think you need to start out with your run game, and because it all kind of takes all that pressure off of Hundley if you can get some semblance of a run game. And they did it against Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh has a darn good defense. And so, you know, if they get Aaron Jones back this week and have Jamal Williams just ride them, you know, for the next two games. You know, Cleveland has a heck of a defense.
Yes, they do.
And that's going to be a difficult game, even though they're
winless
and bad. They do have a good defense, and that could be a problem for Hundley. So you got to keep building his confidence and not reach for too much.
Yeah, you mentioned Aaron Jones, and McCarthy said that Wednesday was going to be a chance for him to begin the day in the rehab group and hopefully advance to the actual practice, and he did that. He was a limited participant with the knee injury, the torn MCL that he suffered against the Bears, and I got to think that that's a positive sign that on his very first opportunity to go from the rehab group into practice, he did it and was able to move around out there. So I know you asked the question the other day of what McCarthy thinks he could do with both of those guys available. So if they're both available, and if Jones continues to progress well and he's on the field Sunday with Williams, how do you sort of envision that playing out?
Well, Williams is a starter and gets the bulk of everything till Jones builds himself back up. He's still coming off an injury, and I think you give Williams the majority of the reps, but you give Jones a series here, a series there, and if he starts to get hot again, you know, just like last time, you feed him, you stick with him, and go with him. But I really think they have an interesting combination with those two. They've got a guy who's kind of a jitterbug, and then they got a guy who's a just a slammer. And those are two different type of guys. You know, you have to defend two different style of runs. So I'm kind of interested to see how they do that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Williams, you know, both these guys, of the three rookies that they have, you know, Williams, Jones, and Mays, these are the two best pass-catching backs, you know, that they have. So it's not as if you have to play one guy just on first and second and another on third. Mm-hmm. They can be more or less interchangeable because at this point McCarthy has seen enough to trust both of them on all three downs. I was actually pretty impressed with Williams' speed against the Steelers. You know, he's never been a burner, but I thought the fact that he ran away from the Steelers' defense on that 54-yard screen was pretty impressive. And, you know, I know the guy's taken a ton of hits the last couple of weeks, but he seems to have all this energy. Even when you watch him in practice, he's dancing around and laughing and joking. It certainly doesn't seem like his body's getting worn down.
Yeah, and he is deceptively strong. I thought he wasn't that strong, that he needed a lot of work in the weight room, and I think I was completely wrong on that. I think he is really a powerful athlete, and he will get stronger and bigger, but he's much more powerful and explosive than I thought he was, and he's really reliable. I mean, he almost always picks up the right guy. He doesn't fumble. He doesn't even come close. I haven't really, just that one pass, but that was, you know, he got hit right as the ball got there. So he's been pretty impressive. Not an explosive runner, but you know, not like Jones, who can pop off 20-yard runs at the drop of a hat, it seems like. But Williams can definitely get you some tough yards.
So looking at the rest of the injury report, I think it was probably a huge boost that Kenny Clark was able to practice on Wednesday. Just, you know, what is it, a week and a half removed, essentially,
amazing,
from a high ankle sprain. And
amazing.
I've only covered the team, this is my third season, and I've seen Eddie Lacy and Ty Montgomery end up on IR with high ankle sprains, and I've seen Davante Adams miss 6 or 7 weeks, Jared Cook 6 or 7 weeks.
Joe Thomas this year,
exactly. So you had a chance to talk to Kenny Clark. How is he doing this?
Well, he said the one thing was it's a high ankle sprain, but he said it didn't get up into his calf, which is really the key, that it stayed pretty low. He said the swelling was ridiculous, but he said all of a sudden he woke up. You know, he was icing it and treating it, and all of a sudden he woke up, like, I think he said it was Thanksgiving morning, and all of a sudden he could walk. He had been in a boot and staying off the off of it. And then they started, you know, he started walking around looking good. Then they started having him jog. Then they started having him run. And then he did a little cutting. And they felt good enough to practice him. Now, Thursday's practice will be the most important, because they got to find out whether he can, like, anchor against a double team. If he goes out there and he can't stick his foot in the ground and anchor, then he shouldn't be out there. And
right.
He acknowledged as much. So we'll see. To me, I would not play him in this game. I would be really cautious, because you are going to need him in a big, big way down the stretch.
Absolutely.
And if there's any risk of making it worse, then I in this case, I would hold out against Tampa.
Sticking on the defensive side of the ball, Clay Matthews was also able to practice with a groin injury for the first time since he dropped out of the game against the Ravens.
Yeah.
And in the locker room after practice on Wednesday, he said that he expects to be on the field.
Yeah.
But
declared himself ready.
That would be a big boost, because I think, as everybody saw on Sunday, they had no pass rush against the Steelers.
Yeah, and you know what? I went back and looked, and it was interesting, because Roethlisberger got rid of the ball so fast.
Yeah, that's true.
That, I mean, there were a couple times they had free runners and they couldn't get to Roethlisberger. He got rid of the ball that quickly. It was strange, because, you know, the Packers were playing zone a lot of the game, and he just knew where to go with it right away. And I don't know if it would have been different if they had played man and just tried to blitz the heck out of him, but he was so good at getting rid of it after three-step drops. And there was one where Ahmad Brooks just gave the left tackle, I think it was Villanueva, yeah, he gave him a shake move, and Villanueva, like, just dropped to his knees, and Brooks was clear shot right to Roethlisberger, and the guy just gets rid of it right before he can even put a hit on him.
I thought Brooks played pretty well, actually.
Not bad. Yeah, you want to see him play fewer snaps and then just, you know, get in and give a different look. Maybe rush from the inside sometimes. But the more pass rushers they have, the better.
I think the interesting thing about Brooks, too, is that you know, we often see Matthews and Perry will move inside at times, and Peppers used to do it too, and they'll put their hand on the ground sometimes when they're inside. But every so often, Brooks will put his hand down even from an outside position, and I don't know what that does or doesn't accomplish for him, but to me, it's a different style than what we've seen, because you don't really see Matthews and Perry ever put their hand down from the edge position. It's just a little unique trait to him.
Yeah, you know, Peppers used to do that. It really just depends on what you like, what you feel comfortable doing. And, you know, there may be some techniques that are necessary on rundowns where you need to be standing up, but he's a powerful guy.
Very much so.
He gets his hands into you. You know, if he can give a little shake move and then just push you aside. If he could stay healthy, they might have something there.
And then the last bit of injury news is in the back end of the defense, where Morgan Burnett was a full participant after playing his first game, you know, with that groin injury. Mm-hmm. So it certainly seems like he came out of the game okay.
He was really rusty.
Yes.
Boy, he was not very good, and he's got to pick it up this week.
And then the big issue would be Kevin King. You know, King has the shoulder injury that we've talked about over and over again, and he did not practice at all on Wednesday. And if he is unable to go, and you're talking about Randall, House, and Hawkins for a full game, it's not an ideal recipe for Dom Capers.
It's not ideal, but you got to do it. You know, Burnett will have to play dime, maybe, and put him in the slot. Maybe put him on Mike Evans. I mean, Mike Evans can really run, but at least Burnett could possibly...
Physical enough,
be physical with him, and then, you know, you have to put a safety over the top because Burnett can't run with him. Or Josh Jones could do that as well. He can at least run. So that'll be something to see. But, yeah, their safeties have to play better. Their safeties are not playing well.
If King's injury continues to be an issue to the point where he's maybe missing whole games rather than just dropping out of the lineup... Do you think they take a shot on Goodson and activate him off PUP? Like, would you rather play him or Lindsey Pipkins or Donatello Brown? I don't really know.
Good question. Really good question. Goodson's period is probably coming up, isn't it? He's coming off PUP. He's got a 3-week window. When did he come off? It might be this week.
Could be this week.
I gotta look that up.
Actually, I think it is this week because he definitely practiced before Thanksgiving. He certainly practiced last week, and he was on the field today. So this would have to be the third week.
Yeah. I would take a shot at him. He can run. I mean, as long as he still looks good. That's one thing we don't get to see, him.
I will say this. He took a lot of reps in the walkthrough portion of practice today. They gave him a lot of chances. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean anything because Clinton Dix never takes reps in the walkthrough period, and obviously he plays all the time. But I did think that was notable that it was him versus Pipkins or him versus Brown
Maybe
or something like that.
Maybe they're testing him out in practice this week and deciding. Well, they probably are because they got to make a decision on him.
Yeah.
And I guess I would. Whatever guy can help you. Plus, he's a real good special teams
player. That's the thing, too. And they're at a point in time where, you know, Josh Jones keeps committing so many penalties on special teams that, I mean, 15-yarders, too. We're not talking just little stuff.
That was a killer, that face mask penalty.
Exactly. And so I wonder if maybe you throw him out there for a guy like Jones just because he's got more experience. He plays essentially the same positions on special teams.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to keep an eye on that. Anything else you want to touch on before we sign off here?
I think that's about it. You know, they're pretty stable at the offensive line now. If Spriggs continues to pass block, he's got to get better run blocking. I would like to see Justin McCray used as an extra blocker.
Like they did with Ulrich John.
Yeah. I was surprised they went with John over McCray. But maybe McCray's knee isn't quite where they want it to be. So that'll be something to watch, too, because Spriggs is going to have some tough just – wait till they go to Carolina and Cleveland.
Peppers.
Yeah, Peppers and, you know, Miles Garrett. And you know, there's just going to be some serious pass rushers coming up.
So that's something to definitely watch over the next couple of days leading into this weekend's game. And in the meantime, be sure to check out all of our coverage on JS Online and PackersNews.com. We were so delirious the other night, I forgot to ask you about the live blog participation.
Oh, man. It was good. It was really good. A lot of people, I was surprised for a Sunday night. A lot of people sometimes just watch for a little while and then go to bed. But it was such a good game that we had great attendance. let's do it again on Sunday.
All right.
And this time I'll be a little more for the podcast. Are we doing the podcast after the game?
We got to figure that out.
Okay.
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
Are you
going
to tell people what your situation is?
Yeah, just like last year, unfortunately, I have to have another procedure on my knee. So that will be later. Well, today's Thursday as you listen to this. So by the time some of you hear this, I may already be knocked out.
What time am I performing that surgery?
Yeah, yeah. You and Dr. McKenzie will be side by side at 3 o'clock.
I'm pretty good with an X-Acto knife.
Yeah, so this will be the second time Dr. McKenzie has taken care of my knee, one on the left, one on the right.
You're questionable, right?
I'm questionable for this weekend, so I don't think we're going to have another podcast before this weekend's game, but Tom and I might figure something out for after the game.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we can do a call-in or something.
Yeah, we'll have to sort that all out. But anyway, thank you guys for listening, as always, and we will talk to you soon.